reading that's going on in our country, the fear of the Lord is in a downward trend. When I was a boy, I always heard older people, never young people, but always older people say, there goes a God-fearing man. There goes a God-fearing woman. I haven't heard that term used, except in a church, in years. You just don't hear people say that anymore. So I want to start tonight reading Psalm 111, verse 1 through 10. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of, the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and revered is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. And I want to hit that last verse because it's so important to what we're talking about tonight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, and praise and his praise endureth forever. We need to understand that wisdom, there's two different types of wisdom. There's the wisdom of this world, and there's the wisdom of God. And people, most people today, are choosing the wisdom of this world. How to make big bucks, how to have success in life. The Bible tells us that true wisdom, godly wisdom, doesn't come until we learn the fear of the Lord. So we need to understand what the fear of the Lord is and what it is not. I want to read you two verses starting out tonight. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. And the next one is found in Isaiah 66 and verse 2. For all these things hath my hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. So when we talk about the fear of the Lord, we're not talking about a fear that he's going to harm me. We're talking about a reverential awe of God that he always keeps his word. And if you're living in that kind of a fear of the Lord, you know that his precious promises mean a blessing for you. And you avoid those things that he says he's going to punish. And so it's extremely important we understand God is not some kind of a miser up in heaven that's just waiting for the next time you get out of line so he can smack you down. God wants to bless his people. In Psalm 84, verse 11, he says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. We serve a God that longs to bless his people. And when we talk about the fear of the Lord, we're not talking about a negative thing. We're talking about a very positive thing. Those that walk in the fear of the Lord loves to give them his richest blessing. So we're going to look at some of those things tonight. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, the Lord, talking about the nation of Israel, said, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. I don't know if you know it or not, but the nation of Israel didn't have to go into captivity. The nation of Israel didn't have to have all the trouble they had. Had they walked with the Lord, they would have been a blessed nation. But they walked away. The same thing that happened to Israel is exactly the same thing that's happening in our nation right now. We're walking away from our God. We are not walking in the fear of the Lord. This school superintendent, not superintendent, the head of the school board in Fargo, North Dakota, said, in essence, I don't want God telling me or anybody else right from wrong. I don't want him telling me anything. We'll make the decisions around here. And folks, that's the mindset of most people in our nation today. And you wonder why our nation is heading the way it's heading. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, God says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and it is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In Proverbs 1, 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There are many people today that don't want their parents telling them what they do. They don't want the police telling them right from wrong. They don't want anybody in authority over them whatsoever. And the Lord tells us he's put people in charge of us for our good. When we disobey our parents, the Lord says, you may not live very long, son or daughter. We need to be those that respect authority. And we need to take God's authority especially seriously, because God has control of everything. When we as God's people really begin to walk in the reverence and the fear of the Lord, good things happen. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. If God's people in any local church will really fear the Lord and start living godly lives, the church is going to multiply. And so it's our responsibility to learn the fear of the Lord and to walk in it so that God can bless us as well. When a man fears God, he has truly come to know God. You know, there are a lot of people in this world that are extremely intelligent. They really know how this world system works and they can really work it, but they don't know God. And the Bible says they do not have any godly wisdom whatsoever. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 24, and the Lord commands us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. God says it's for our good to learn the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. For if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You see, when we learn the fear of the Lord, we say that God knows more than I do. I'm going to stop leaning to my own understanding, and I'm going to start walking according to what God says is true understanding. Psalm 111, verse 10 again, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commands. His praise endures forever. And so those of us that know the Lord, we simply have to walk in what he tells us. And that's our wisdom. No, we may not make it big on the world stage, but it doesn't matter. It's so important when we wind up. What I want to wind up more important than anything is faith. That's all I need. He's already given me everything we need. Now just I've got 20 years left, 10 years left, who knows? But I don't want to wind up an old fool. In Proverbs 1:29, it says, "For they that hate knowledge did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Did you notice there in the first verse of that, in verse 29, they did not choose the fear of the Lord? You see, every one of us has a choice. You can fear the Lord, or you can fear people, or fear whatever you want to. You're going to fear something. But you get to choose. I want to choose fearing the Lord. I want to reverence Him. I want to obey Him. In Proverbs 1:28, it says, "Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." And that's talking about somebody that doesn't walk in the fear of the Lord. When we don't walk in a reverential awe of God, and the bottom drops out of our life, and we begin to cry out to God, sometimes He's not going to hear it. The time to seek the Lord is today, not when the bottom's dropped out. Sometimes it's too late then. We need to seek Him while He's near. In 2 Timothy 1:7, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." When we fear the Lord, the good news is we don't have to fear man. We don't have to fear nature. We don't have to fear anything. And so a spirit of fear is fearing everything except what God tells us to fear. And there's only one thing God tells us to fear, and that's Him. If we get that down, we don't have to fear anything else because our God is in control. In Isaiah 33, verse 6, this is one we had in Sunday school a long time ago, but it's really a powerful verse. "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure." Folks, when you have the fear of the Lord, God is with you and God will protect you and God will bless all that you do. In Deuteronomy 5:29, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever." And I want to look again at Psalm 111, verse 10, because this is what we're basing this on. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have they that do His commandments, and His praise endures forever." So when we have the fear of the Lord, it's a learned fear. This is something you can be taught in. You can grow in this. In Deuteronomy 4:10, he says, "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God at Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." Nancy mentioned she's in a Bible study trying to read through the Bible. Dave said the same thing. Staying in the Word of God will teach you the fear of the Lord. It'll keep you on track. When Solomon became the king of Israel after his dad died, the Bible said one of the things that a king should do is that he should take a copy, get himself a big scroll, take a copy of the law, and write it himself on that scroll, and read from it every day, so he would do all that God told him to do, and God would bless him. Solomon started out really good, but he quit reading his scroll. He quit reading the Bible, because in the book of Deuteronomy, it says three things that the king of Israel were never to do. They were not to multiply horses, they were not to multiply wives, and they were not to multiply silver and gold. And Solomon did all three. And the Lord said, if the king does those things, he's going to lose the fear of the Lord. And Solomon lost it. He had it, but he lost it through the middle part of his life. The good news for him is he got it back in his old age, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But in Psalm 34:11, The Lord says, come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Folks, it can be learned by you, and it can be taught by you to your children. One of the most important things we can do for our kids is to teach them the reverential awe of God. When a man fears the Lord, he desires to please the Lord. In Nehemiah 1:11, Dave mentioned the building of the wall and how it happened in 52 days. It's a wonderful thing. It was a miracle almost because God was with them as they kept their eyes on the Lord. Nehemiah says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah was about to ask the king to let him go to Jerusalem to rebuild that wall. But he said, I reverence the Lord. Lord, please bless my endeavors for you. Notice he said, those who delight in revering your name. The fear of the Lord is something we should desire and something we should delight in, because it's all kinds of promises that come to us when we did. Solomon, as I mentioned, instead of fearing the Lord as he went along, he disregarded what the Lord had commanded, and little by little his heart was drawn away to the point where a few years he actually made temples for his wives' gods, and he actually went in and bowed down to those foreign gods. Solomon came back to his senses in his old age, praise the Lord for it, and in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, this is what he wrote. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. When you know that one of these days God's going to call everything you've done, everything you've said, into account, it teaches you the fear of the Lord. I want to be able to do it, like Paul said, with joy. I don't want to face the judgment seat of Christ in fear that I'm going to lose everything I ever did because I did it all for the wrong reasons. And I surely do not wish anybody to go to the great white throne judgment. God himself says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he also said the majority are not going to. He said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Folks, we need to be busy. When a man fears the Lord, he also seeks to live for God and to bring God glory. In Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. You know, we identify insanity of doing the same thing and expecting a different result. But sadly, all across our country, in fact, all across this world right now, we're disobeying God. He brings judgment. We disobey God thinking we're going to get something different. It doesn't work that way. Once he brings judgment, and he's brought all kinds of judgment on our nation these last 30, 40 years, you would hope that sooner or later people would get the idea, if we want the blessings this nation has had for over 200 years, maybe we ought to go back to doing the first things we did. Maybe we ought to go back to reverencing God and raising our children to do the same. In Proverbs 14:2, he says, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him. And people, even Christians, can walk away from the Lord and wind up despising and mocking what they used to believe and teach. And I can tell you some pastors that have done it over the years, not just parishioners, but pastors. In Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. It's sad to see some of these people that think they can shake their hand in God's face and get away with it. They're not going to get away with it. In Ephesians 2:8, the New Testament teaches exactly the same thing. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. When we say we reverence and fear the Lord, that means we ought to be doing what he's told us to do. And it's so important that as we study the Word of God, we put it into effect in our daily life. And sadly, many Christians don't. When a man truly fears the Lord, he fully trusts in the promises of God. This is so important because so many people that say they love the Lord still don't trust him from their heart. In Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. You see, when a man and a woman fear the Lord, it isn't just them that it affects their offspring. The Bible says that a godly man affects the third and fourth generation. In fact, I'll get it backwards. The evil man affects the third and fourth generation. The godly man affects 1,000 generations. And whether you know it or not, there haven't been 1,000 generations yet on this earth. At least I don't believe there has. I know evolutionists say we've been around for billions of years. I don't believe that at all, but you can believe what you want. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied and shall not be visited with evil. When we fear the Lord, we have a peace that passes all understanding that comes upon us. We all have trouble, everybody, whether you fear the Lord or you don't. But in the midst of the trouble, we have precious promises from the Lord, and it's not in our notes, but Romans 8:28. Our God works all things for the good of them that love him, for the good of them that are the called according to his purpose. And so even when he allows trouble in our life, it's still for our good, and he works it for our good. In Proverbs 19:23, Solomon wrote this. He said, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. The Apostle Paul, talking about it in Philippians 4, verse 11, said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Contentment with godliness is great gain. And when we can learn that the Lord gives us exactly what we need, maybe not what we want, but what we need always, we can walk in that reverence and be content. In Psalm 25, verse 14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Somehow that's not what I have. I must have given you the wrong verse. What I had down was the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. So I must have gave you the wrong verse. Probably did. At any event, I like the idea that God confides in those that fear him. There are secrets of God that cannot be known by the natural man. In fact, there are secrets of God that can't even be known by a Christian man or woman, unless they are walking in the fear of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. There are secret things that God has not revealed to any man, but there are many, many secrets that God has chosen to reveal to his children. The deep assurance makes us sure of God's protection. And here's a great verse. It's Psalm 34, verse 7. Another one that I really would advise you. You might want to think about this one. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. When we talk in the Old Testament about the angel of the Lord, who are we talking about? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is encamped around every single person, I believe, in this room tonight. And he's always encamped around you. He protects us from dangers we don't even know about. Because there are things that you can see with your eye that would hurt you, and usually you can take precautions. But we're in a spiritual battle, and there are things going all around us that we can't even see. We can't hear it, but it's there. And our Lord Jesus Christ protects us. Not only that, but he also sends other angels in Hebrews 1:14. Are not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be the heirs of salvation? And he's talking about all the host of the other angels. They're all ministering spirits sent to minister and protect us, God's children. In Psalm 34, verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And again, it's a thing that can be taught and it can be learned. In Psalm 33, verse 18, Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Imagine if you got the exact protection that would match the hope that you have in God. What kind of protection would that be? I hope it's ultimate protection. I hope it's in every area of every life. When a man fears the Lord, he wholly serves the Lord with his life. In Psalm 2, verse 11, it says, Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. We like to talk about Caleb. In the book of Joshua, it tells us about Caleb. In Joshua 14, verse 6, it says some very interesting things about this man. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Folks, I hope you can say that, and I hope you can continue to say that. I wholly followed the Lord my God. Such an important thing, because those that do get the blessing of their God. And talking about Noah in Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. As far as we know, up until the time of Noah, it had never rained on the earth. The Lord told Noah, I'm about to bring a flood on the earth. There hadn't been a flood on the earth. He said, I want you to prepare an ark. Anybody know how many years Noah worked on that ark? 120 years. And as Noah worked on that ark in the fear of the Lord, because the Lord said he was going to send a flood, Noah preached for 120 years. God's going to send a flood. You need to get your heart right. Nobody believed him. Nobody was moved with the fear of the Lord. But when the rains came, I can guarantee you they learned to fear the Lord in a hurry. But it was just 1 minute too late. When God shut the ark door, that was it. We need to learn to fear the Lord right now. In Psalm 2:11, James chapter 2, verse 14. Gary mentioned this morning in our morning service. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there's one God? Thou doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Extremely important for us to understand that when we say, I've learned to fear the Lord, that means we obey what the Lord tells us to do. You can't say, I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, but I'm not going to obey him here or here. It can't be done. When a man or woman truly fears the Lord, we obey him in every area. And it's extremely important. In Psalm 2:11, he says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now, normally, we don't think of fear and trembling as going together. But the fear of the Lord, which is a good thing, makes us tremble because we know how important it is and what a difference it's going to make in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, wherefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. We have to approach the Lord with fear and reverence. He's not going to destroy you when you're trying to serve him. But he can destroy any of us, anytime. The psalmist said in Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Folks, when we learn to fear the Lord, we start to reverence the Lord. Now, it's going to work out in our lives in such a way that we begin to show the world that we really do reverence the Lord. In Matthew 5, verse 13, the Lord says this about every single Christian. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherein shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden down under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so the Lord says we're salt, number one. Salt does a couple things. Salt, number one, is a preservative. In the Old Testament, they didn't have refrigerators and freezers, and so they would salt the meat, and it would preserve the meat so that it would last longer. Not only does it penetrate or preserve, but it also penetrates. Salt penetrates any food and flavors it differently. The Lord wants to use you and I to be salt, to preserve this world, to keep people doing the things that God says to do, and to penetrate this world and make it different. We have a job to do. Not only that, but he says we're light. Light gives vision of what's really going on in this world. And we need to be light because Satan loves to hide things from the world and to darken people's minds. I believe with all my heart there can still be revival in America. We've had three great revivals in the history of our nation. We haven't had a great revival in over 100 years in our land. We desperately need it. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, and with this we'll be done, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. And that's not just true of the nation of Israel. That's true of the United States of America. That would be true of Mexico. That would be true of Canada. That would be true of any nation. When God's people turn to him, he begins to heal the nation. And so when we learn the reverential awe of God, we will turn to him with all of our hearts, and our lives will begin to be salt and light. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the fear of the Lord. And Lord, we're grateful you put the fear, reverential awe of God into our hearts. Father, help us to draw near to you. Because you tell us in your word, if a man will draw near to God, God will draw near to him or her. Father, bless us tonight and use us for your glory. We'll give you all the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen.